Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to latest edition of Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewer's Pizza, located at 14B Blanding Boulevard, Orange Park, Florida. You've got JK3 here.
And Derek, hey guys, how you guys doing this evening?
Man, it's been a little bit of a slow last couple of weeks with the Jags since the draft has, you know, died down and you know, now we've got everything going on with Telvin. So before we jump into that, the AEW, so Tony Khan's wrestling, they just signed a deal with TNT now. So I guess this thing's pretty legit, right?
Hey, man, just bring back Nitro, man. If we're going to get on TNT, just bring back Nitro. I wish I still had an NWO shirt. It's nostalgic to think about wrestling on TNT. You know, for us that grew up in the 90s and went to high school in the 90s, that's going to shout out my age a little bit. But, hey, more power to him, man. Congratulations. Hope it turns out well.
Yeah, I thought it would, when they first started it, I thought it was a gimmick, you know, or I didn't know exactly how involved or how big, you know, the wrestling was going to be since it's all been kind of cornered by WWE now. So, but yeah, it does bring back those days of, you know, Monday Night Nitro versus Monday Night Raw, and, you know, trying to figure out which one you were going to talk to or talk about the next day at school. You know, I was a fan of the Nitro girls, just bias. So, you know, I would much rather watch WCW Nitro than WWF, but whatever. But yeah, man, it's cool to see that's going on. But I know that you guys have, if you've listened to anything with the Jags going on or if you've been under a rock, it looks like we won't have Telvin Smith for the 2019 season for a, you know, predetermined reason. I'm not really sure. Don't want to speculate, you know, what it is, but, you know, he has to take some time off. So, Derek, what do you think? You know, how do you think the team moves forward as far as a leadership perspective in the locker room?
I think it's going to be a blow, but at the same time, it seems like they're 100% behind him. We're not going to sit here and beat a dead horse, but there's obviously some, you know, health issues, mental health issues. You know, there are a lot of people have been saying drug abuse and so forth, and that's, man, you know what? Those two kind of go hand in hand, and I can say that because of family. A lot of people out here, I think, run their mouth and have no idea what they're talking about. I'm not saying everybody, but there are a lot of people. Sure. So they just need to, you know, give him some space. The biggest thing when someone has a mental health issue is they're in denial. It's when they accept the fact that they have it and they get help, that's the beginning of the healing process. So they need to go ahead and just back off of him. Yeah, there's money and contract and loyalty and all that, but he's right. Life's bigger than football, man. So get over it. All right, and if he comes back next season, he comes back. If not, then, hey, we got to move on. It's going to stink, but oh well.
It sounds weird to say it, but, you know, his social media has completely, you know, done like a 180, because when we were trying to figure out what was going on, it was just nothing, and now there's just different posts after post, and, you know, more are along the lines of stuff that he, you know, he used to post, not saying it was anything crazy, but there is some type of social media activity, you know, there. For me, it comes down to who's going to play, you know, that Mike linebacker now, right? Yep. That's what we're really looking at. And I, Calais Campbell had a charity event that was that went on, I guess, the other night at a main event, one of the little bowling alleys around here, which I think our invite may have gotten lost in the mail, but we'll pick it up next year. But, you know, Miles came out and just definitively said from himself that he was going to be playing middle linebacker, and I don't really see that, you know. I mean, of course you want to be, and it the quote unquote the quarterback of the defense, but I don't see, you know, Miles Jack being the Mike linebacker on this team.
I don't see that whatsoever, and it's nothing against him from being a football player, because he's in the NFL and we're not. We're just sitting here at home talking about it. But at the same time, when the calls aren't being made on the field that need to be made by the middle linebacker or by the captain of the defense or whoever makes the calls.
Sure.
You got 2 years of tape, and you've seen 2 years of inconsistency an inability to put guys in the right place to make plays. That's all I'm going to say. And 2 years, meaning last year, of course, and the year before, because the year before when Paz didn't play, they didn't do too well as far as coverage. Remember, they never got beat from a physical. It was always a mental battle.
Yeah. And I think most of the times they were either overrunning plays or underrunning them because of the athleticism, or excuse me, overrunning them being with the athleticism, underrunning them, second guessing, and not, you know, knowing where they were going to go. So, I mean, I think, you know, that middle linebacker position is completely wide open right now. I doubt they throw the rookie in there, you know, with coming up with Patrick Mahomes and a couple of the marquee quarterbacks that were playing here in the first four games of the season. But I doubt they put him, you know, right there in the fire. But, you know, what if they, you know, this guy from Green Bay, you know, comes in and, you know, he's just an absolute tackling machine like he has been. You know, I think Leon Jacobs is still on the team, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so you still have that. So, I mean, that has now the middle linebacker position with us. And for y'all don't know, whenever people say Mike is middle linebacker, so you have your Mike, you have your weak side linebacker who is your Will, and you have your strong side linebacker who is your Sam. So whenever you are, you know, listening to sports talk radio and you hear Mike, Will, Sam, you know, that kind of lets you know where you're going. And those weak and strong sides do depend on where the tight end is lined up at, where different, you know, players are, running backs lined up. And we can go full days on into coverages, but just to, you know, keep the casual fans and people out there wondering, what is this Mike, Will, Sam, you know, all these different things. That's what we're talking about. But the Mike linebacker position, you know, just became one of the more featured, you know, camp battles to watch, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, it has been. Jake Ryan, you know, has come over, and it's just going to be, you know, more competition. It's unfortunate that we have to go through this at this time, but it's something that has to be done. You got to remember, too, that they have a lot of depth at the defensive back positions as far as, you know, corner. Mm-hmm. So linebacker has always been a sore spot, and I'm saying that because of coverages. So they're very focused. The Jags are very focused on the middle of the defense, not the outside, the middle of the defense. So 5 yards and back between the hashes. That's where we are weakest at, and they've got to fix that. It's unfortunate that we're weak up the middle because that's the shortest distance to the goal line.
Right.
Run wide left, run wide right. It you know, you can still kind of, you know, build a strategy around that. When it's up the middle, it's bad. So you're replacing both safeties. You've got a linebacker problem that's been there. And we have three guys that, you know, just, you know, Telvin, Jack, and gosh, I don't even know who is it, the Leon Jacobs, that Telvin's not playing. Jack's, it's mental breakdowns, and Leon Jacobs looks like, you know, he may not even play. So as far as from a starting, you know, standpoint, so it's just all up in the air, and there's a lot of different things. So as the season gets closer, pay attention to the middle of the defense, from the linebackers and the safeties. That's where you'll see the battle. I mean, we have Ronnie Harrison, who's come in, and he's played well as a rookie, and he's going to, I think, blossom into a very great, you know, a very good player. But that's only one guy that's got 1 year of experience.
Right. Yeah, still a pretty relative, you know, young team, and, you know, pretty relative, you know, as far as some of the on the field / off the field issues that, you know, the team has had. So, I mean, with Telvin being there, you know, he did assume that leadership, you know, perspective and that leadership in the locker room. So right now, on the defense, you've got Calais, you know, who's pretty much, you know, the outspoken leader of the defense. And then from there, you know, is it next man up? You know, how do you come in and, you know, take someone who's such a vocal and emotional leader like Telvin? I mean, you know, that it's just hard to, you know that we're going to be without him for the 2019 season. But, you know, as far as a guy that is, you know, getting everybody rallied, getting everybody to the ball, you know, first one there to congratulate you on a pick, you know, first one there to, you know, get you know, high five for like a, you know, interception, and then, you know, some of the takeaways that he does have. You know, how do we back that up as a team?
That's a, you know, a very good question, and we can only speculate. As a lot of people have a lot of different opinions, but what really has to be done is these guys have to come together. They have to put their contracts aside, which we'll talk about that here in a second. They got to put their egos aside and really come together as a team, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Remember, talent wasn't the reason why we stunk last year. In years past, it's been the reason. Last year, it wasn't talent. It was camaraderie and leadership is where we failed as a team, as an organization, and, you know, whatever else you want to call it. That's something that needs to be fixed, and that can only be fixed internally between the coaches and the guys in the locker room. Media, fans, can't fix it. We have no say in it. It's all about what those guys feel, and they have to stick together.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing that really just kind of worries me a little bit is because from the defensive side of the ball, you know, it's just where we're going to see the leadership emerge. Like, where are we going to see, you know, it coming from, and where, and it usually does come from that middle linebacker. You know, that middle linebacker position is the person who is, you know, keeping everybody, you know, aware of down and distance, what they need to do, keeping everybody, you know, keyed into what's going on, and then also calling the defensive plays as well, making sure people are in the right spot. So, I mean, you do automatically assume that leadership role by having that being your core responsibility as a football player, you know, being responsible for the play call and the shifts and diagnosing the plays before they come. So, you know, that's just another thing that we're just going to have to see over time. It, you know, it stinks right now that it's, you know, May, and we're already looking forward, you know, to this kind of stuff. But I mean, that's what happens when your team is 5-11,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's,
I mean, that's what you got
to
look for.
It is the crappiest feeling as a fan to sit there and think about how much talent we have right now, because in the blink of an eye, that talent can be gone. And what do I mean by that? It can be gone because of a personal situation, as in Telvin.
Injuries
it
also.
It can be gone because of injuries. That talent can be gone because we got two guys that are command top five money at their position on the same side of the ball. And it's very rare when you pay both. Yeah. Don't be surprised if we lose one of them. And we're going to get into contracts. And I'm talking about Ngakoue and Ramsey. Don't be surprised if we lose one. Oh, we'll sign them. We will. Top five at each position. Defensive end and corner. That's going to be tough. They're going to have a lot to do.
So, from my understanding, and as a casual, you know, contracts guy that, you know, just sees the stuff and kind of looks at it, you know, and these, and before we jump into the contracts, you know, to switch gears, a lot of these numbers are, you know, stuff that we've done and we've looked up on overthecap.com, which we found is kind of our most accurate, you know, source to break down a lot of them, not necessarily just for the Jags, but, you know, other teams and how we're going to compare. And anyone can kind of go back and take a look and see, you know, what's going on and how, you know, contracts are gone. So the reason why we're bringing this up is because most of the times right now, if we're not talking about Telvin, we're talking about how we're going to pay Ngakoue, how we're going to pay Jalen Ramsey. And it seems like the stop all for the Jalen Ramsey thing is we'll franchise him. Well, he'll play out this last year. We'll franchise him once, franchise him again, and then from there we'll command, you know, we'll see what we can do as far as giving him a blockbuster contract. And I'm pretty accurate with that, right?
Yeah, that's may what happened. That might happen, or that may happen. But if we franchise him one time, I think he's gone. I don't think he'll re-sign with us. Just my
because
I think it's going to make him mad. I really do. I really think that's going to make him mad.
So since we're talking about, all right, so we're talking about Ramsey right now. So is Xavien Howard for the Miami Dolphins, casual football fan doesn't know who he is, right? And that's also a good thing that you don't want to know who your cornerback is on the team, because odds are if you do know who it is, if he's doing, you know, something outlandish, you may know if he's getting beat all the time. Or if he's an outgoing personality like Jalen, you know, then, you know, that's how you know his name. But Xavien Howard is now the highest paid cornerback in the NFL right now. 5 years. Let me pull it up. So right now he is making 75,250,000. Did I say that right?
75.25 yeah. over 5 years.
75 point. You're the math guy. No. So 75.25. And it looks like right now it's over 5 years. So that averages out to $15.5 million a year, fully guaranteed money, which is what everybody else is getting right now. Is 27.185, excuse me, that's what he's getting right now. Total guaranteed, so he may get another big chunk next year or however they've got that figured out, $46 million. So let's just look at it like this. So he's 75, and then he's $46 million guaranteed, averaging $15 million, you know, a year. So we'll just look at those three numbers. So the next highest paid cornerback below him is Josh Norman, Washington Redskins, $75 million flat, averaging $15 million a year, and his total guaranteed is $50 million. So we've got two of those guys right there. You've probably heard of Tremaine Johnson, $72.5 million or $72.5 million right now. Xavier Rhodes, $70 million. What I'm getting at right now is that if that's the top five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they're all $70 million guys, the drop off from them is ridiculous. It goes to, you know, maybe so as far as contract value, it goes to Kyle Fuller of the Bears, and then our own AJ Boye at $67.5 million. In my opinion, I think AJ's a better corner than Jalen. That's just my take. I'm sorry. You can come at me on Twitter if you want, at JK the Third. But I think AJ Boye is the best cornerback on our team. I will say it again. So, long story short, sorry I was long-winded. It's going to take, in order to sign Jalen Ramsey, to sign him to a big deal, it's going to take upwards of $75 million. These contracts, you don't land in the middle with a new contract. You go above it.
Well, I'll tell you this. First of all, you need to come up off of whatever you're smoking, because AJ Boye is not a better corner than Jalen Ramsey. Okay, we can do a whole episode on that, man. If you want to, we'll get Corey to come back. Sorry, you know, Corey's still on the MBA train, man. So, and I mean MBA as in Masters of Business Administration.
MBA young boy,
but. Yeah, we can go all day. No way in the world. But just to give you guys a little bit of insight here. Franchise tag, that's probably where we're headed. Okay? It's probably where we're headed with Jalen Ramsey. I think Ngakoue, I think they'll get him just because of the fact that he's not as, not brash, but, you know, Jalen just, you know, runs his mouth and he puts everything out there in social media. And, you know, he wears his personality and his feelings on his shoulder. So, but when it comes to Jalen's contract, you got the top for the franchise tag. It's the top five players at that position in that year. So
top five or top five?
You know, top five. So with the first year, I'll say, and I'm pretty sure it's now you got me second guessing myself. I could have swore it was five. Yeah, it's top five in that current year. So you're looking at $15 million, $14.5 million, $15 million a year. That's. Uh-huh. That's a lot of money.
A lot. I mean, and just as far as cap, and then if for those that keep in tally at home, you know, right now, our current cap availability for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, we're sitting at around $13 million in
cap. Now, I know some people have, you know, will say, well, we're getting Telvin's money back and all that. Yeah. Let's not even think about that. Let's just go with what we have, and that is
Telvin's money is Monopoly money right now.
So, if we don't get a deal done, then you look at if we do pay him. So Xavier Howard just got 5 years, $75 million. I guarantee you Jalen probably said, who is that? I've made two Pro Bowls. I want 5 years, $80 million. And of that, I want, you know, 40, $50 million guaranteed. And if I don't get it, I'm not signing. It's probably where we're headed. So for, you know, our math majors out there, if you have 5 years and you have $80 million, does anybody want to take a guess how much that is per year?
We'll just let you just tell
$16 million. Okay.
And you know what? And the math checks out, because the way that these contracts are structured and the way just looking at over the cap, these contracts, they increment by like half and then whole. You know what I mean? So 75.2 or, you know, 75, why am I struggling with that? 75.2 million, you know, versus 75 million. You know what I mean? So it's the contract value is just steadily increasing and the bar is being raised. And what's happening is that these corners are just driving up the market. So I think the $80 million range is where they're going to have to land. And what you said, $16
million? $16 million. Now, they can play with the numbers a little bit. Remember, they can kind of play with the numbers and you know, pay it in the rear and give him some guaranteed money up front, which he'll probably be, you know, total guaranteed. I'd say over $50 million. On the deal. That's my opinion. But you got to remember what's, and you're like, well, why are we like this? What is causing this? I'm going to tell you what's causing it. Okay, it's just plain as day. Blake Bortles. That's what's causing it. Okay, Blake Bortles. Malik Jackson's got $4 million in dead money. Jenkins, Gibson, that's another $3 million, $3.2 million.
Those are small numbers compared to $16.5 million.
So, those numbers are going to go down, and you know, Calais Campbell's contract will probably be off. So people will think that, hey, we'll just roll that over and everything will be good. No, because you don't want to tie up. You know, you're going to tie up most of your money. You know, they try to split it equally between both sides of the ball. You know, they try, and you'll have it tied up between two players on the defensive side of the ball. Remember, we don't have the greatest wide receiving core. All right, Leonard Fournette, you know, thinks he's a all pro, which he's not. And we've got some guys that are decent role players and decent offensive linemen that, you know, we'll have to sign. And you know, Andrew Norwell is getting a big salary right now too. So, you know, those things are going to carry on. But if you look at right now, the reason why we're in the predicament is because of Blake Bortles. And you can, you know, pass the blame. We've talked about it 500 times. Is it Coughlin? Is it Caldwell? Is it Coughlin? Is it Caldwell? It's one of them. My money's on Caldwell, but you just don't know. They're not going to tell us. Coughlin's not going to say who it was that convinced us to sign Bortles to that contract extension. So Caldwell's going to give some dumb, you know, government answer or whatever you want to call it. And that's going to be it. So we just got to go with what we have, and that's what we have right now.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That cap hit 16.5. It's just insane. And I can see why. I can see why they extended Blake. You know, you're one bad call away, you know, from the Super Bowl, and you're coming off of a playoff run where he, you know, probably played some of the best football, you know, maybe last 2 months of his or 2 years ago. He probably played his best football that he had in that time frame. So I understand the rationale, but at the end of the day, you got to look at the inconsistencies as well and see what's really going on with that. I mean, just to switch over to from Jalen to Ngakoue, you know, that's one of the other, you know, rushers that everyone else is just clamoring on Twitter, including myself, for us to go ahead and pay. And, you know, you really want to try to pay the best players that you possibly can on the team. But I think his deal is a little bit more scary than Jalen's, in my opinion, just because of the way that some of these edge rushers are getting paid. I mean, you know, we can put Khalil Mack up there. He's an all-around just – I mean, he probably plays every position on the team minus safety or DB, which he probably could play. But, I mean, right now, you know, his total contract value is $141 million. DeMarcus Lawrence with the Cowboys just signed a pretty lucrative deal, $105 million. Frank Clark just moved over to the Chiefs, you know, $104 million. So, I mean, see, these guys are more of the players that you may know, your Von Miller, Trey Flowers, D. Ford, Olivier Vernon, etc. You know, these guys are getting paid upwards of $80 million a year. And if Ngakoue is considered in that elite company, you know, we're really going to have to step up our game and really come up in there. I'm not saying they're going to go up to the DeMarcus Lawrence number, not even the Frank Clark or the Von Miller number, but it needs to be somewhere around the $80 million, you know, range as well for him also.
Wish us luck. Now, the Bortles money will be gone. after next year, after this coming season. So I don't think there'll be, if any, much, you know, very little left, but that still kind of, you know, hurt us for this season coming up.
Well, you can't extend them. You can't extend them this season.
So there'll be, you know, there'll just be some things that have to be worked out, and it just really depends on what they do. If they pay both of those guys, you're going to see a very large drop-off in talent because they won't be able to keep guys that might perform well. Like, let's say Linder, for instance. I know we just, you know, gave Linder a contract, but if Linder wants his deal reworked, we won't be able to do anything. You know, if we try to sign a wide receiver, what are we going to sign? A top free agent wide receiver? We won't be able to afford him. You know, you got Foles, you're giving him a lot of money too. So
yeah,
when you have two guys on one side of the ball that demand top five money at their position, it's about impossible to deal with. Look at the Patriots. You know, everyone says, oh, the Patriots. The Patriots do an outstanding job of managing their cap room. Outstanding job.
Well,
and
I mean, you've got Tom Brady there taking pay cuts to keep the team good.
And hey, hats off to him. That's why he's got six rings, you know, between that and his talent. But my point is, since when did you see – you remember Chandler Jones? Remember, he was a Patriot. As soon as he got a little bit big, started talking about contracts, you know what they did? They traded him to, like, Arizona, got some draft picks out of him. Because they knew they weren't going to pay him. They knew all.
But he got an $82.5 million contract.
With the Patriots?
Or so, with the Cardinals.
Exactly. That's my point. It's like they knew they couldn't pay him. They knew it. Or they knew they could pay him, but they couldn't afford to get other guys that they wanted to win. No one guy is more worth more than winning. And we have two of them. Think about that.
I find it, and I mean, it's just, you know, probably the way the chips have fallen, but I think the fact that Dante Fowler is making more money than Yannick Ngakoue right now is just blowing
my mind. That's not for long.
I mean, blowing my mind. That's
not for long.
I mean, it's just blowing my mind. I mean, he's right now, Ngakoue is making $3.4 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And has contributed way more than the team, and in my opinion, is worth more than that. So you take a guy that's making $3.4 million, and then do you what? Do you bump him up? I mean, he's probably going to take or want top five money in the league, but is he really going to get that? I mean, do you take a guy that's making $3.4 million and bump him up to $75, $80 million?
If you want 10 to 12 sacks a season, yes. Remember, we just came off of the last few years where our team was getting 10, 12 sacks total for the season.
Yep.
We have that in one guy. That's not going to be good if we let him go.
Yep. So, question, and to throw you on the spot right now. Derek Smith, you are the GM of the Jaguars. Who do you pay?
This is going to go against all my no-blooded fans out there, but I pay Ngakoue.
So you think the 10 to 12 sacks a year are more important than the shutdown corner?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and this is where I disagree.
Okay,
this is where
this is the guy. This
as
is the
much
guy
as I just said,
Boye is better than Ramsey. So let's hear it.
He is. AJ is the best cornerback on the. He is the best corner on the team, but he's shut down, like legitimate shut down. Jalen, the only reason why Jalen gets balls thrown on his side of the field is because he plays his own defense. He doesn't play man. When the team will call man, and he'll like, all right, bet. Or no, they'll call his own defense. All right, I'm running man. He gets more targets thrown at him, and AJ, no one throws the ball to AJ.
I don't know
side.
About all that. There were some times last year where AJ kind of got soft. I mean, the Jags went up against a lot better teams, receivers, and quarterbacks last year than the previous year.
They're going to do it this year again, too.
And they are. And both of them got their share, you know, their fair share of getting burnt. You know, remember what I said about when they played the Chiefs last year and everybody was saying that Ramsey's going to get at Tyreek Hill? And I was like, no way. Tyreek Hill is too fast. And Tyreek Hill beat him a couple times. Point is, one, Ramsey's better than Boye. Two, Ngakoue, I'd rather have a defensive end getting me 10 to 12 sacks than a shutdown corner.
I don't know, man. I think the shutdown corner eliminates a lot. I mean, it creates the edge rusher it does create, you know, turnovers with the with the sack fumbles and the opportunity for that. But I think the shutdown corner is so much more essential to your team, because you've automatically, you just know you're not going to throw it on that side. You're just not going to. You can do things to you can double up on an edge rusher. You can chip. You can do some things like that to try to get away and to try to really just, you know, make it easy or make it harder for that defensive lineman to get to you. But when you got a person out there on your island and there's nothing else you can do, and to back what I'm saying, PFF has AJ Boye at a 75.7. He's got Jalen Ramsey at a 72. I'm just saying.
How I feel about metrics and numbers. All that stuff. We don't even have that on the topic. I mean, I could spend a whole episode saying that, you know, you have all these numbers and all these guys and even, you know, people like ourselves and podcasts that have thrown their name into the ring of trying to prove that they know more than the actual players themselves because they believe it's an analytics and numbers game. But at the end of the day, why aren't the Patriots like the most efficient team at everything? They're the only ones to keep winning. You know, yeah, they got a great quarterback, but my point is, you can't look at that. They can't look at the intangibles, the fear. And what I mean by that is Jalen Ramsey has always, even when getting beaten, he's always come back to answer the bell. And you can look at, you know, some of the rogue defensive, you know, times where he just went and did his own thing and it got upset. But he's always on the best receivers on the opposite team. He's always on their best receiver. That ought to tell you something. So, of course, if his score is lower, it's because he's playing better competition. I'm leaving it at that. Tell Pro Football Focus they can do whatever with that. But
What we'll do is, once we put up this episode tonight, we'll put up a little Twitter poll, and we'll see. And just have you guys, you know, just get a little fan engagement, see who's the better cornerback, AJ or Jalen. And then if you have an other, we'll leave that there too. And guys, don't just say Jalen just because you like the sassiness from him and you like the spiciness from whenever he talks.
They're gonna say Jalen because it's true, and he's on. I don't know what you want, but man, it's time to go. It's time to wrap this one up. I can't believe he said this, man. It's time to wrap this up. Oh gosh. But anyway, guys, I hope you really enjoyed the show. You know, please shoot us a 5-star review if you haven't on iTunes. But Google Play, I think we're even on, Spotify now. So,
bro, you can listen to podcasts many places now. Yeah, it's crazy. You know?
But, you know, we'll be back in a few weeks for another episode. Enjoy this time away from football. We're about to get into sports purgatory. So, basketball season's about to wrap up. So, it's about 3 months of baseball. And then the fun begins. So, everybody, take care and have a good night.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.